process to sanction the International Criminal Court and collapse it because it dared to go after Israel. You have that visit to Washington that Biden was reluctant to extend to Netanyahu, despite Biden's full complicity in the Gaza genocide. And you have other gift bags that are being showered on Smotrich and Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu to buy their complicity and silence.
I wanted to ask you about UNRWA. International staff working for the UN's main agency serving Palestinians have been forced to leave Israel after its ban on the agency came into effect. This is the deputy U.S. ambassador to the United. I want to go to the UNRWA spokesperson, Jonathan Fowler, who said Israel's decision could trigger a collapse of humanitarian aid to Palestinians.
We're responsible for over half of deliveries inside the Gaza Strip, over half of the aid coming in. The UNRWA, I mean, has been described repeatedly, not by ourselves, but, you know, by others as the backbone of the international aid operation, because the rest of the aid operation is just the UN presence is just a few hundred people. Few hundred does not equal 5,000. Without UNRWA being able to operate, there's a very real risk of the humanitarian operation collapsing.
So this is extremely significant, Mohammed. UNRWA out. As all the Palestinians are flooding into northern Gaza, if you can talk about both of these issues. Of course, UNRWA is larger than Gaza. It's serving millions of Palestinians throughout the Middle East.
Precisely. Well, UNRWA is Gaza's lifeline. If you take it out, this is a death sentence to Gaza's population. Since the ceasefire was enacted, my inbox has been flooded with messages from colleagues, from family members, from friends and loved ones who are literally begging to help to find them any place to stay, to help to even find a tent in northern Gaza, to help to find food to put on the table. If you take UNRWA away, it gets only way worse than this. Whatever rudimentary basic level of survival that is sustained in Gaza now with the little aid that's coming in, a lot of it is going to be explicitly banned by Israel, because the Israeli legislation, it bans any imports to Gaza with UNRWA's label on it, as well as dismantling UNRWA's network. Also in Lebanon, for example, where Palestinians are living in refugee camps in abysmal conditions, UNRWA is a vital lifeline there. But it's not only a matter of service provider. UNRWA has played a transformative role for many Palestinians. My own father, whose family were kicked out in 48 by Israel to a refugee camp, the Shati refugee camp in Gaza, he would have been a barefoot child with no life, with no income, with no purpose, if it wasn't for UNRWA providing the infrastructure for education that brought him up as the doctor that I was very proud of until his death because of Israel's blockade. I myself wouldn't be standing in front of you now and speaking English and even knowing about politics or the history of the conflict or the history of the Holocaust if it was not for my UNRWA educational system. I would have not had an educational opportunity. So if you take all of that away from Gazans, it falls into Israel's plan to prevent any capacity in Gaza to maintain organized human life so that people would have to leave, so that Gaza is being emptied out completely. And that's the main concern.
And Mohammed, finally, if you could talk about the continuing Israeli assault in the West Bank, in particular on Jenin.
So basically, part of the gift bag that Netanyahu gave to his extremist minister, Bezalel Smotrich, to agree to the ceasefire in Gaza was to extend the war goals under the radar quietly to include the West Bank. So now the West Bank, from Israel's perspective, is a war zone. So that's why you have, for example, Israeli checkpoints booming and skyrocketing all across the West Bank, despite the IDF chief of staff, who is a settler himself, Herzi Halevi. He is not a pro-Palestinian left wing, but that IDF chief of staff, he warned Netanyahu and Smotrich. He said, don't put these checkpoints. It will lead and push Palestinians to take to arms, to armed resistance, to resist Israel's occupation. But Netanyahu overruled him. In Jenin, you have a way worse dynamic than the rest of the West Bank, where Israel is trying to turn it into a clone of Gaza, ethnic cleansing, pushing people out and destroying homes systematically one after the other. All of it is to explode the West Bank, to use it as a pretext for a major war to push Palestinians out. That's the agenda of Israel's extremist ministers at the moment.
Mohammed Shahada, we thank you so much for being with us, writer and analyst from Gaza, chief of communications at Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor. And that does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm Melinda Crawford, a Scottish fiddler, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Ever lose your keys? Is that normal aging, dementia, or something else? Fear often stops us from asking for a simple checkup from the neck up. Knowing your numbers, blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol are common, but your cognitive numbers are also important. Request our free guide. It's filled with tips for better brain health, facts about dementia, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Your brain will thank you.
Hey, look, everyone, it's Mando.
Everybody ready? Mm-hmm.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Whiskey Before Breakfast Radio, or the Roots Program, depending on where you are listening. I am Mando Richard, and we've got a wild show today. We've got an interview with two members of the Medusa Quartet. We've got our Liquored Up set. We've got our Folk Rock set. We've got our Gospel set. Whew, that's a lot to get in. Let's get things going right away, then. Here comes Desiree Dorian from back in 2021. And her song, Sometimes I Drink.
Sometimes I drink, get a buzzing in my brain. I don't want to complain, but I'm going insane.
Sometimes I like a glass of wine on Friday night at the Lonesome High. Forget about the bills and chill, forget about everything. It's been all uphill, I don't do this all the time. I just need this tonight. Well, I might get it wrong, but I'm just trying to get it right.
Sometimes I drink, get a buzzin' in my brain. I don't wanna complain, but I'm going insane. I think I'm gonna go ahead and pour just a little bit more, try to ignore it.
Sometimes I drink. Ooh. Yeah, sometimes I drink. Ooh. I've been carrying the weight of the world now. I deserve a night with the girls. I don't need a guy to buy me a drink. I don't need anyone to buy me anything. I've been trying to do it all, but I'm not doing anything right. No, I don't do this all the time, but I just need this tonight. I don't do this all the time, I just need this tonight. Well, I might get it wrong, but I'm just trying to get it right. Yes, sometimes I drink.
thinking, my baby, she rolled across my mind. Lord, every time I get to drinking, my baby, she rolled across my mind. My poor heart worried and bothered all in your mind. Sometimes I get to drinking. Well, I just drink all the time. Girl, I drink all the time. Well, now I don't be drinking 'cause I wanted to. I'm drinking to ease my evil
of an overwhelming situation.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. Call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
I'm Joe Roland Porter. Get out your breathalyzers because you are listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with Mando Richard. Richard, blow into this, please.
I'm thinking about drink to drown my blues away. Cause I learned my woman up and gone astray. You can give me good advice. There's only the one thing I'll do. I gotta think about drinking, drown my blues away, blues. Well, I'm a walking and a talking like I ain't gotta care in the world. But nothing brings you down like losing a good time, girl. I think I know it all, but I probably ain't got a clue. I gotta think about drinking around my blues away.
dancing over a mansion, ready for a night on the town. But the writing on the wall said she was Nashville bound. Oh, my girl, it is gone. I got nothing more in me. I gotta think about drinking, drown my blues away blues. But I'm thinking about drinking. 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 Drown my blues away. Well, there's a question and an answer and going on inside of my head. And the way I feel ain't much better than dead. Is it women? Thinking about drinking, drown my blues away, blues. Shaking and a quaking deep down inside of me. And I'm looking for a way to set my demons free. It ain't the front page news, and just between me and you. I'm thinking about drinking. Yeah, I'm thinking about drinking.
back. Gonna be a great day.
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 Even though my pals might get a little woozy, I just love to get a little boozy. A little bit of bourbon makes everything better. Everything better. Everything better. A little bit of bourbon makes everything better.
Good thing I've got a lot. A little bit of bourbon makes everything better. Everything better, everything better. A little bit of bourbon makes everything better. A good thing I've got a lot. Well, a little bit of bourbon makes everything better. A little bit of bourbon makes everything better. A good thing I've got a lot.
In the background, you're listening to the Nordic Fiddlers block play Don't Drink and Dance from their 2020 record, Bonfrost. And yes, I've been playing a lot from this record lately, maybe because it's winter. Anyway, what was in our opening set of music here on Whiskey Before Breakfast Radio or the Roots program? Well, we began with Desiree Dorian doing Sometimes I Drink from our 2021 record, That's How I Know. And then we went back to 1963 for Sunnyland Slim doing Every Time I Get to Drinking. I played it for a compilation called Blues Piano Orgy. Then, after the PSA, you heard the Rickety Pickers doing Thinking About Drinking from their 2021 record, Not Done Yet. And the last thing in the set was from 805 Jive. And from their 2017 record swing set, you heard A Little Bit of Bourbon.
Thank you.
Up next, we've got a conversation with Saskia Tompkins and Leah Gerstein from the band The Medusa Quartet. They will be coming to Pittsburgh on January 31st of 2025, and got to spend some time with them, and really enjoyed the music, really enjoyed the conversation, and I think you will too. We're going to start off with a medley of a Polish tune and an Appalachian tune. Here we go, the Medusa Quartet. Just heard the Medusa Quartet playing Grusia and Kitchen Gorgons. And joining me on a Zoom call right now are Saskia Tompkins and Leah Kirstein. Ladies, Hi. Thank you so much for joining me.
An pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having us, Richard.
We're talking to you because the Medusa Quartet is coming to Pittsburgh for Calliope House on Friday, January 31st. And this medley of tunes I just played, I mean, I think it speaks really well to what your music's all about.
Yeah, we're tying tunes together from across the pond. We're starting in Eastern Europe with a Polish tune called Grusha, the pear tree. And then we're flying all the way over to play an Appalachian tune, which was originally called Kitchen Girls. But we're not really girls. We're Gorgons, you know? So we're inhabiting the spirit of Medusa here right off the bat and bringing her into a modern, fantastical representation.
It's a darn fine version of Kitchen Girls or Kitchen Gorgons, too, if I do say so. Let's start talking about Medusa. Medusa's got such a bad name.
Oh, Leah, you're telling this story.
Yeah, it's funny. We've been asked before, like, why on earth we would name our band after someone so scary, right? And we don't think she's scary. We think she's just misunderstood. She's got a bad rap. But, you know, we love a lady of ill repute, and we love to redefine her story, right? So the story goes that once upon a time, Medusa was a wonderful, vibrant human, unlike her immortal counterparts, right? And she was creative. She worshipped at the Temple of Athena until one day, petulant Poseidon came along, as those Greek gods did so often, and he actually took advantage of Medusa on the steps of Athena's temple. But Athena kind of pulled the ultimate Aunt Lydia, for those who may have read The Handmaid's Tale. And instead of seeing Medusa as the victim of a violent act, she decided to punish Medusa with the quote-unquote ugliest punishment she could possibly manage, which was to turn her hair to snakes and her vision to turn men to stone. This was like the ugliest thing she could possibly think of, right? But we think that, you know, just because they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so too is this idea of ugliness, right? And the story is kind of sinewy, and it keeps changing depending on who is in power and who's telling this old story about whom, right? So in some versions, she has tusks or facial hair, or in some, she's even quote-unquote cursed with dreadlocks. Again, depending on who is telling the story and who's trying to other whom. So we're playing these, we're a fiddle quartet, we're playing these forgotten fiddles, some of which were actively suppressed by people in power, and they told these kind of dark feminine stories about these fiddles, particularly in order to try to stamp them out and the vibrant music and culture and dance that went along with them. So Marta is one of the only people in North America who plays this fiddle called the suka, which is a very impolite name to call a woman. And
in Poland.
in Poland, that's correct.
And translation is not good in English either.
Yes. So it comes from that tradition of knee fiddles, which is not something that would be seen in polite society all through the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries.
That's right, exactly. So I don't know, just because these fiddles have a bad rap doesn't, I think, mean that they don't have a voice in the modern string quartet. So we're taking these fiddles that were given this stamp of ugliness, and we're trying to see past the stories that were told about them, you know, because if all you've got is the preconception, all you're going to see is the monster, right? But these fiddles have rich, beautiful stories with them, so we're bringing them back to the string quartet.
Saskia Tompkins, you play one of these. I don't know, was it ever really disreputable, the nickel harpa?
It pretty much died out, and in the 20th century, it was almost lost. It was in museums. There were a few players around, and the folk revival happened across the Western world. It also happened in Sweden, and there was a man called Eric Sellström who realized that this amazing tradition from his country, his homeland, was disappearing. And he went round and recorded the last few players, and went to museums and measured them up and revived the tradition. And in the 70s, the Nickel Harper was the government paid for people to go to evening classes and make them. Can you imagine that? I think it's fantastic.
In Sweden?
Yeah, just for a couple of years. Most of them are terrible, but because they were the one thing, you know, I'm going to make a table now. I'm going to make a Nickel Harper. You know, it doesn't really add up. And it's only in the last maybe 15, 20 years that they've started really coming back. And I know that in Pittsburgh, it seems to be almost an epidemic of Nickel Harper players, but that's actually really rare. It's very, very unusual, especially in North America. In Europe, they're coming back now. Yeah, but it almost died out. So it's a very special instrument.
One of my favorite quotes from your website is that you are inviting back voices previously regarded as too ugly for polite society to show what a string quartet can be.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, these instruments deserve to be heard, and heard as a more common instrument, I think, because they're such exciting sounds. And they, you know, like my Nickel Harper has squeaks and clickety clacks and all sorts of things that you don't want when you play violin. We've all been trained, we're trained to play beautiful sounds only, and the idea is to make it sound as beautiful as you can, but you can't do that with the Nickel Harper, because it's an exquisite sound, but it's got keys, and the keys just go clackety clack and like an old typewriter, and things squeak, and some of the resonant strings sing more than others, and sometimes you get a buzz, and it's just such a unique, crazy instrument that has its own personality, and you just have to accept and work with that personality, and it just makes the music so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, as the partner of an electric guitar player, I think I can say that humans have always been hungry for noise, right? Mm-hmm. And now electric guitar players pay a lot of money to get some of the same effects with pedals. All of this like reverb and like fuzz and compression and all of this stuff, like people found a way to express all of that gritty, noisy stuff in instruments as old as the Nickel Harper, which go back to what, the 11th century or something. So I feel like it just speaks to this like very humane desire for there to be all that good dirt and grit in there, as well as the purity of tone and resonance, right?
Mm-hmm. And without one, you can't have, you know, there needs to be a contrast, so they balance.
Yeah.
You realize how beautiful, exquisite it is, because there's also the dirt and grit. They kind of complement each other. Yin-yang, you know?
Yeah.
I get the sense, though, too, that just like there are many instruments that resemble what North Americans refer to as the hammered dulcimer all throughout Europe and India, that there are other instruments like that around the world that resemble to some way the Nickel Harper, you know, with its resonant strings that you don't change the pitch on, but are just there to vibrate sympathetically with the notes you're making.
Yeah. Well, Marta plays some of those. She won't have it with us in Pittsburgh, but she plays a sarangi, which is from
the lira. Well, hey.
Yeah. And the lira. So we've got Greece and Crete,
Pakistani, I suppose.
Yeah, and Pakistani instruments, or North Indian, and they both have lots of sympathetic strings as well. And in Norway, they have the Hardanger fiddle, which has sympathetic strings.
You mentioned Crete, so I think this is a good time to play Cretan tune.
Yeah, so Marta plays this incredible instrument called the lira that has these resonant strings just vibrating all the time. You can hear them on the track. Yeah, she got this tune from a lira master, Ross Daly, well, who is actually an Irish player, but he's become kind of the lira master in many, many circles. And she learned it directly from him. So here we go. This is the Cretan tune, our interpretation of it.
Thank you.
just heard the Cretan tune from the Medusa Quartet, and I've got Saskia Tompkins and Leah Kirstein with me on a Zoom call talking about their upcoming trip to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for Calliope House, Friday the 31st at the original Pittsburgh Winery at 2809 Penn Avenue. And for more information about them and the concert, you can go to calliopehouse.org. Now, what's the best way that people can go to find more information about the Medusa Quartet? Because I know when I go to look for Medusa and music, I get all sorts of people.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Like, I think if you just go searching for Medusa Band, you might find one of our heavy metal counterparts. But if you search for Medusa Quartet, we're going to come up with all of our folk tunes from around the world. So you can look at MedusaQuartet.com or Medusa Quartet on all the social media things to find our evolving tunes and stories from around the world.
Leah and Saskia, how do you four ladies balance presenting the traditional music and the traditional instruments and the way they were with also making progressive new music?
Well, first of all, I think Tommy Gerald would have loved the suka. And secondly, I've always loved this idea of there's sort of being a three-pronged, three spokes of a wheel that keep traditional music spinning, right? And one is, you know, the sort of diehard, like, preservationist approach. It is really important to keep these tunes and traditions and stories alive exactly as you heard them. There's sort of the boundary-pushing approach, which is the second spoke of the wheel, and, you know, seeing how can we sort of expand our concept of either tonality or expression or freedom. And the third is just kind of the social practitioner approach of like, hey, I don't know whether you're, you know, conservative or boundary pushing, but either way, you got to show up at the jam at 7 p.m. because that's when we're all gathering. And so these sort of like three spokes of a wheel keeping the whole thing turning. And I feel like we sort of tackle a little bit of all of that in our approach to arranging and composing, you know, sort of on an inside track within these genres. What do you think about that, Saskia?
Yeah, I would add to that museums are really, really important for preserving our past and our heritage, but you also have to bring it up to the, make it have a context in our current society and our current situation, our current understanding of the world. So if you just leave things in museums, they get dusty and get forgotten about. Yeah. So you have to breathe life into things, into the music as well.
I can remember one of my old-time bands used to play Walk Like an Egyptian with banjo, fiddle, guitar, and washtub.
Perfect.
Oh, that would be amazing. Hey, I remember seeing a million years ago, because I'm from England, and Hayseed Dixie came over, and they did bluegrass versions of AC/DC songs, and it was amazing. They were fantastic. They were like superstars in Britain. Yeah, it's important. There's space for that. It's important.
Well, this is a very energetic conversation here with Saskia Tompkins and Leah Kirstein. We should remind people the other members of the band are Marta Solek and Georgia Hathaway. And the four of you spend time together in the Toronto metropolitan area, even though you also disperse all over the world.
We get on really well. We're definitely a team, you know. We work really well together.
Yeah.
We all seem to tick a different box of a group that, you know, that complements each other. It's beautiful.
It seems like you all have different projects you're doing outside of the band, too.
Yeah, Saskia has been playing a lot with the Sultans of String, this incredible group.
Oh, I love their records.
Yeah, I'm on one of them. And you heard it here first. It looks like I might be making a record solo with them next year. I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. Oops.
And Marta's on tour in the States right now, actually, with this powerhouse female-led Polish band named Polki that is kind of bringing back Polish traditional music. And she plays a lot with Mosquito Bar, and both Georgia and Marta have played a lot with the Canadian Arabic Orchestra. So everyone's kind of like digging into their own kind of niche of traditional music and sharing that with the group. And then we kind of each bring our own sensibilities to create something new together.
Well, you're being awfully modest. You're not talking about your World on a String project.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I run a fiddle school in Toronto called World on a String. Yeah, we present house concerts and jams and all kinds of things. It's a fiddle school for mostly for adults, actually, for people who maybe think that they can't learn something new anymore. You know, they've got a fiddle in the closet and they haven't dusted it off in a long time. And they also just can't seem to sit still and sit with just one genre. They're insatiably curious tune hounds who just want to travel all over the world and experience a little bit of everything. So I try to bring in experts in lots of different genres to kind of inform, traditional fiddle tunes, because they're all just too fascinating, all the different genres of fiddle music. The fiddle has traveled all over the world, and it can't quite seem to sit still, and neither can we.
Saskia and Leah and all four members of the Medusa Quartet are coming to Pittsburgh for Calliope House on Friday the 31st of January at the original Pittsburgh Winery at 2809 Penn Avenue. And the concert starts at 7:30 p.m. And watch the Calliope House website for more information on a possible workshop before the concert. I think it must be fascinating presenting this music to people.
Absolutely. And there's certainly some stories about the instruments that we tie in with this idea of Medusa and the old myths and stories and things being rejected and resurrected and brought back to life. But in the end, we got to get to these tunes from around the world and new tunes that we're continually writing. And if you stick around late enough, you might even be able to have like a little bit of an instrument petting zoo. See them vibrating right in front of you.
Well, I'm just so excited to be able to see you guys play here in Pittsburgh and to see some of the instruments you bring out. You're bringing all sorts of different kinds of stringed instruments that have been part of the folk tradition, which means people getting together socially to enjoy the music.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is dance music, you know, it is social gathering music. And we don't condone dancing in the aisles, just to say, you know. But we also, because it's a string quartet, we also play all these, we try and bring in these sort of arrangements that kind of have more classical sensibilities as well. And we even take, we've recently started taking tunes back from composers in the classical field who've stolen them from the folk world, and we're kind of bringing them back in and kind of shoving a few in. So you might hear the odd little thing that you might recognize from classical radio station or something. And you go, hey, hang on a minute, isn't that like Sibelius, or isn't that like Mozart? Because it's kind of fun to do that.
Play back the things that Johannes Brahms and Bela Bartok and all those people stole, and Zoltán Kodály stole from their native traditions.
Yeah, well, why did they get to have all the traditions? Yeah, they took them from folk traditions in the first place, so we're bringing them back, baby. Come on.
We're having way too much fun, and folks, if you are listening in Pittsburgh, their concert on Friday the 31st for Calliope House at the original Pittsburgh Winery. That's the one on Penn Avenue. And if you're not listening to this conversation in Pittsburgh, do what you can wherever you live to support live music and live music series. Attend your local jam session. Don't be afraid to bring that tenor guitar out of the closet. Get out there. Make music.
Yes, absolutely. Get your butts in here. It's way too much fun.
Yeah, you don't have to be good, but you have to do it. That's important.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again and again.
As we bid farewell to Saskia Tompkins and Leah Kirstein, let's close this session with another medley from one of your recordings.
Yeah, Millstone is a tune that I wrote. So I like to go busking. I've been busking since I was 13, and it keeps you humble and keeps your feet on the floor. So in my local town of Cobourg, which is right across the lake, Lake Ontario from Rochester, New York, there's a little wood-fired bakery, and it's called the Millstone. And I used to busk outside there quite a lot, and they would feed me endless cups of coffee and nice sticky pastries and things. And I played the nickel harper. And one day I thought, this is amazing. People have been cooking on wood-fired ovens for thousands of years. People have been playing the music and busking for thousands of years. People have been playing nickel harpers for 1,000 years nearly. And this kind of pseudo medieval-y Frenchy type tune downloaded, we call it download when the tune is floating through the air and it arrives and you happen to be in the right place and there's this tune arrives. And that's what happened. Thankfully, Medusa liked it. So we played that. It's cool. And what's the other tune that goes with it? I've just forgotten.
The Lounge Bar.
What a great tune. The Lounge Bar is a pub in the Shetland Isles that's basically open 365, 24/7. And it's a musician's pub, so you can go there and jam. And it's very, very famous. And this tune was written by...
Anne Laug Borsheim from Norway.
Yeah, and she obviously went there and jammed and wrote this great tune. And she's not Scottish, she's Norwegian.
Yeah, but she wrote it very much for that community. We're talking about the power of folk music community and people coming together and dusting off odd instruments, you know, from their closets and not, you know, not necessarily being sure if they belong in folk music community. I think venues like De Lounge Bar and like the ones that people are trying to really intentionally create in Calliope House and, you know, here at home in Toronto are... They're the thing, the places that keep the whole thing spinning and make people feel that they do belong in folk music, no matter where you're coming from.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us, Richard.
Look forward to meeting you in person. Yeah.
Here come the Medusa Quartet with the Millstone and the Lounge Bar.
Thank you so much to Saskia Tompkins and Leah Kirstein of the band Medusa, the Medusa Quartet, for spending some time with us. And remember, even if you're not listening to this program in Pittsburgh, do what you can to support live music wherever you are. At the very beginning of the interview, we heard them play Grusha and Kitchen Gorgons, which is really Kitchen Gal. And in the middle of the interview, you heard Cretan Tune. That's from a 2021 EP they put out. It's called Medusa Live EP. And then the last thing you heard at the end of the interview was another medley, Millstone, Da Lounge Bar, from their 2023 record, Medusa EP, which is what that first medley was from as well. In the background, you're listening to a track from Natalie McMaster's 1993 record, Fit as a Fiddle, which she's doing a medley of The Girls at Martinfield, a reel, Bennett's Favorite, also a reel, and then a third reel, The Green Fields of Glentown. Stick around, because after the station break, we'll be back with more great music on Whiskey Before Breakfast or the Roots Program.
This is DJ Firefly, and you're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with Mando Richard on WRCT Pittsburgh, WVUD Newark, Delaware, WUTC Chattanooga, Tennessee, WKYWLP Kaiser, West Virginia, and WMCK.FM, McKeesport, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Nancy, are you sober?
I am. Are you?
Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey, 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 Nancy, oh. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey, 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 Nancy, oh.
All right, everybody, listen up. I got an announcement here from the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. That's the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. Are you in emergency? Call 911 if you can. Now text if you can't. Now, Southwestern Pennsylvania wireless customers can send an SMX text message to 911 operator from a mobile device when they can't place a phone call. This feature allows people with hearing or speech impairments, as well as those in situations where it's unsafe to speak on the phone, to contact 911 operators. If you text 911, only send text messages. Multimedia files cannot be received by 911 operators. In the to field, enter the numbers 911. In the message, include the address, location of the emergency, and type of help needed, such as the fire, the police, the ambulance. Click send. Be prepared to answer questions and follow instructions from the 911 operator. If you need to, place your phone on silent so as to not alert the intruders. Remember, do not text and drive, and use 911 services only in an emergency. Use an agency's regular phone line for a non-emergency call.
Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. And they provide online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at their website, www.spackbrothers.com, and you will receive a text message when your food is ready for pickup. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Hey there, it's the Mockster from WRCT's own Friday night extravaganza, Viva La Mock, reminding you that you're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with my good friend, Mando Richard. But then again, unless you're a first-time listener, you probably already knew what you're listening to, right? Huh? Right? And if not, maybe... just maybe you've had a little too much whiskey before breakfast, if you know what I mean.
Families affected by disasters urgently need support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to people in distress when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. To help people affected by disasters, big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you.
Hi, I'm DJ Firefly, the electronic music director here at WRCT. You know, Louis Armstrong once said that all music is folk music because he never heard a horse sing a song. So I invite you to check out the folk music on my show, Couch Dancing, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
It's time for our folk rock set. I hope everybody enjoys this set as much as Bill from Philly does. We're going to start off with two things from 1969 and then two things from the 2020s. Here comes a band that was in the process of forming in 1969. They weren't really a full-time band yet. It's the guys who eventually became the new Riders of the Purple Sage, and here they go with Mama Tried.
From a family meek and mild, Mama seemed to know what lay in store. So I all my Sunday learning towards a bed I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I deny. That means only me to blame, but Mama tried. Mm-hmm.
soul if my mind heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill this shoe. Working hours without rest, she wanted me to have the best. Tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but mama tried.